Disappointing news on the housing front.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Housing starts fell last month, along with new housing permits. That report from the government just a few minutes ago. Analysts were expecting a little improvement, actually. But compared to June, housing starts fell 1%. Compared to last July, down more than 37%. Wholesale prices dropped sharply last month as well, thanks mostly to food and energy costs. Over the past 12 months, wholesale prices have fallen by the largest amount in more than six decades of record keeping. And none of that might seem important to you right now if you're wondering whether your credit card number has been stolen. Prosecutors have charged three men with stealing more than 130 million credit and debit card numbers. It's the biggest known identity theft in history. Joining us live is Ivan Zatkovich. He's with the computer consulting firm Ecop Consultants. Good morning.
Morning.
130 million numbers seems staggering to me, but what about you?
It does, but in this particular case, they hacked into a payment gateway system, which is actually a central hub for processing millions of credit card transactions, specifically for outlets like 7-Eleven and supermarkets like Hanford Brothers. So in this particular case, it's not surprising.
Why can't banks encrypt those card numbers and keep them secure?
They can. In this particular case, the company that operated this gateway system, Heartland Payment Systems, assumed that their system was secure behind a firewall, which turned out not to be the case.
Well, is this something that banks can stop if they want to, but it's expensive? Or is it a matter of legal regulation or what?
I think it's a matter of diligence in terms of data security for these companies that run these payment gateway systems. In fact, Heartland Payment Systems was cited in 2007 of being out of compliance with data security and were just reinstated last year by Visa after meeting compliance. And as recently as this year, they've been touting themselves as a leader in data security, which apparently turns out not to be the case.
So what are the odds this is just going to keep on happening?
I think this is going to be a wake-up call. Now that it's known that you can use a particular hacking method to get into a payment gateway, I guarantee you there will be hackers out there attempting this on other payment gateway systems. So I think this is going to be a major wake-up call.
Ivan Zatkovich with the computer consulting firm Ecomp Consultants. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's talk about some different numbers. World markets have bounced back a little from yesterday's rout. European markets are up about 0.5% this morning. Asian markets were up about the same earlier today. Yesterday, the Dow lost 186 points to 9,135. As if the recession weren't enough, a recent study shows day laborers are suffering increasingly from wage theft, that more than half of them did work in the last 2 months that they never got paid for. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports the legal system is starting to fight back.
The owner of a Los Angeles construction company was recently convicted on criminal charges for not paying his workers. Officials in New Orleans are also talking about making wage theft a crime. So who picks up the legal tab for protecting these mostly undocumented laborers?
It's not going to be taxpayers' money.
That's Miami-Dade Commissioner Natasha Cejas. She's proposing a new ordinance to fine cheapskate employers and use the revenue to cover Miami's legal expenses.
So that it's cost neutral to the county.
Others see protecting laborers as beneficial to the larger economy. Chris Newman is with the National Day Laborer Organizing Network. He says employers who don't pay workers force competitors to cut costs or risk losing business.
It's more difficult for law-abiding employers to compete with the unscrupulous employers.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Labor Department is hiring 250 investigators, increasing its staff by a third to keep up with complaints about wage theft. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The global recession has been especially hard on Japan, and now the ruling party there is on the verge of losing power after five straight decades of control. Marketplace's Scott Tong has our story.
All across Japan today, politicians stood atop cars and spoke into megaphones promising change. Opposition leader Yukio Hatoyama's coalition is on the verge of toppling the ruling party, the party behind the world-beating Japan Inc. of the 1980s and the economic sclerosis that followed. Hatoyama spoke in Osaka.
The ruling party promised to make public life better. Has it? No. Consumer life has gone from bad to worse.
He wants to cut taxes and school fees. The incumbent, Prime Minister Taro Aso, spoke just outside Tokyo. His party trails in the polls by double digits, but he wants to stay the course.
The economic stimulus we've taken is working. We're halfway there. The LDP will continue this strategy.
The latest numbers show Japan's economy is growing again. But in downtown Tokyo, many voters speak of economic anxiety. Here's working parent Yumiko Nagishi.
Nowadays, I look at supermarket flyers to find cheaper products. We used to eat out if we were tired. Now we cook at home.
This 31-year-old businessman worries that prices at retail stores are falling. Economists say that makes consumers stop buying as they wait for a better deal. Still, Japan remains the world's second-largest economy, and per capita income's over 30 grand. The problem is it's aging rapidly, and confidence in the government is low, says economist Richard Jerram at Macquarie Securities.
The management of its economy has been poor. It's a big, rich country, but it's not really much more than that.
He says on global issues like financial reform, Japan faces a credibility issue. Lots to tackle for whoever wins this election. The voters speak in 12 days. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, Seattle residents go to the polls today to decide whether to charge themselves for using disposable shopping bags. Stores would charge 20 cents for every disposable bag they provide at the checkout counter. The purpose is to cut down on the waste that crowds landfills, but many opponents say they don't waste those plastic bags. They reuse them. Think dogs. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.